The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, it's Friday. I got a special name for this one, a cesspool of vice Friday edition. Welcome to right. It.
Hey, man, my man. It sounds like my kind of show. Happy Friday, Crudy Rich on the board. Our fair audience, welcome.
Dom, join me and the former president here in the gutter. That is the New York hush money trial, the test point today. Hope Hicks was on the stand. And Hope E. Hicks, she was... But the president's daughter-like figure, although that's always a little bit weird with Trump and his daughter. But she got a little teary-eyed, had to take a little break from testimony. And I'm thinking, there's no crying in corruption. There's no crying in corruption. She was there on the inside when nearly every single scandal broke for Donald Trump.
Yeah, but if she's under oath and under subpoena and doesn't want to be there, she has to testify truthfully, honestly, about her surrogate father, Mr. Trump.
Dom, I want to get in the Wayback Machine. Bloop, bloop, bloop. 8 years. 8 years since the Access Hollywood came out. Seems like a long time. The Access Hollywood video cemented Trump's air of invincibility because he survived. A little bit of the coverage here. Sarah Ellison at the Washington Post. And little warning. On this cesspool of vice Friday edition, we're going to replay the Access Hollywood tape. It's been 8 years now. Time to pull it out of the archives.
Oh, because great.
Hope Hicks is giving testimony about what happened in Trump world when the Access Hollywood tape dropped. That is the subject of the testimony being given today. I believe they've halted for the weekend. Let the tearful Hope Hicks go home and recompose herself. But on Friday morning, Donald Trump's hush money trial in Manhattan revisited a moment from the 2016 campaign when a Washington Post article felt as if it might end Trump's presidential ambitions. The bombshell scoop from reporter David Farenthold revealed the existence of the now infamous Access Hollywood video in which Trump bragged about ramming women's genitals.
When you're a star, they just let you do it.
Trump told a giggling Billy Bush, who at the time of the 2005 recording was the host of Access Hollywood. You know, Billy Bush didn't fare so well after that.
Oh, he got
tape
fired.
Drop. The syndicated show owned by NBC Universal had located the Trump recording in its archives and was preparing its own story. Tipped off by Access Hollywood, NBC News was also aware of the tape and was preparing a story which it planned to run after the entertainment show aired the recording, the Post previously reported. The Post article, which published on a Friday afternoon in October, drew more than 100,000 readers simultaneously at one point. Ooh, that's damn. Like more people than listening to me right now, Dom. Then the most for any article in the website's history, and briefly crashed the servers of the Washington Post internal tracking system. Farenthold wrote about the process of breaking the story and described the email he sent to Hope Hicks, who was then Trump's spokeswoman that day. Number one, does Mr. Trump have any reason to believe that it is not authentic and that he did not say those things? Number two, does Mr. Trump recall that conversation? If so, does he believe that there's anything that was not captured in the transcript that would make him look better.
No.
And number three, does Mr. Trump have any regrets about the conversation? In court today, testifying for the prosecution, Hope Hicks described how she had forwarded the email to other campaign leaders. Prosecutors then showed an email from Hicks in which he wrote to several senior members of the campaign. Need to hear the tape to be sure. And deny, deny, deny. That's what they responded, Dom. Asked about those comments, she chuckled and said that the letter strategy denial would become more difficult after realizing the email from Herrenhold included a transcript of the recording. The publication of the video cost Bush's job at NBC's Today Show, and as now former aide Hicks testified today, threw the Trump campaign into panic as Republicans roundly condemned Trump's comments and distanced themselves from the campaign. That was the weekend of the Fall Fest in the first CD.
Yeah. Paul Ryan disinvited.
Speaker Paul Ryan disinvited Trump. It was crazy. He was supposed to be in the state of Wisconsin that weekend. I think he went to a fundraiser. You know, nothing public, nothing public. And Hope Hicks also testified today, Dom, that Trump sort of minimized this initially. Didn't suspect it was a big deal. No big deal. Locker room talk, right? That's how they ultimately defended Trump with this. But here it is. It's been some 8 years. You know, you probably washed the filth of the Trump presidency off. But, you know, we could have 2.0. And I think we should remind our audience and the American people, Dom, this is what it was like 8 years ago in the campaign. This is the guy that Republicans chose to go forth with as their nominee. And eventually, he won the Electoral College, threaded the needle, and became the president of the United States. And now you got a choice, 2.0. Is this still your guy? Let's play the Access Hollywood tape. If you got kids in the car, we have beeped out the swears. But, you know, still, it is a cesspool. A Vice Friday edition, so earmuffs played for the people, Rich.
Moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony. She's totally changed her look. I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
Pull the hem.
And then Trump departed. A what? You know, like a I guess it was a long bus, one of those high-end buses.
Bus, yep.
Yeah, he was on the bus. They were already wearing the recording devices, the microphones, and seemingly unaware they were being recorded. This seemed like the little talk between friends, Dom. Little locker room talk, if you will. But it was insulting to Paul Ryan to the point he disinvited Trump from his Fall Fest. And it was sort of a shocking moment in the history of the elective cycle. Because you wondered, would Republicans still embrace this guy? I mean, we were at the nominating convention in Cleveland. There were still considerations that they would throw this guy heave-ho at the convention. That's why Paul Manafort got brought on board to help shepherd and threaten the proper people to make sure he was still the nominee coming out of Cleveland. But by fall, Dom, this could have been disastrous. It was the general election. Here was your October surprise. It was the Access Hollywood tape. And apparently, about the same time in history, and we didn't yet hear in all this timeline through the Hope Hicks testimony, but from the prior testimony, same time in history, apparently there was a former Playboy playmate, Karen McDougal, and Stormy Daniels. And through their former counsel, Donahue, who testified earlier this week, they were both shopping claims that they had either had sex with or had an affair with, in the case of the playmate, Donald Trump. And compounding this Access Hollywood tape, it seemed like this was the time to catch and kill before it cut and killed his presidential campaign. So they're setting the stage. And I think they're doing a masterful job, Dom. This is going very, very well, I think. The prosecution,
a little bit from
Donald
more
Trump.
From the reporting, the video's reception in Republican circles set up a powerful dynamic that helped establish Trump's stranglehold over the party. At first, his closest allies, including his own running mate Mike Pence and the head of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus, both disavowed Trump's comments, as did scores of politicians across the spectrum. Paul Ryan, then the Republican Speaker of the House, declared himself sickened by Trump's words. Ryan canceled the joint campaign appearance with Trump that had been scheduled for the following day.
I was credentialed for that. I was going to that.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush called the comments reprehensible. Senator Marco Rubio said they were egregious. Ben Carson declared them unacceptable. Bush, Rubio, and Carson had battled Trump for the Republican nomination. As Trump's inner circle gathered to plot his next move, Priebus told him he had a choice: to lose in a landslide or step aside in favor of another Republican candidate with a chance to win. Of course, Trump did not step aside, and after issuing a weak apology, he emerged from Trump Tower the following day to greet his cheering supporters. It was the most high-profile time we had seen something bad happen with Trump, and Republicans weigh whether they should distance themselves from him, said Tim Miller, who was then serving as Jeb Bush communications director and has since become a Trump critic. A few days later, they all got back in line. The dynamic showed how pliable the Republican political establishment would be to Trump, Miller said, but it also established a myth about Trump's unshakable support, a storyline that media coverage of Trump seemed to bolster, Miller added. Years later, a similar dynamic played out after a much larger event, the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol, immediately after Republican politicians condemned Trump's role in the insurrection. But as time passed, those objections fell away. And early this year, polling showed that more than 7 in 10 Republicans said that too much has been made of the attack. It's time to move on. What did your buddy tell you at the Trump rally, Crudy? Worst insurrection ever.
Yeah, because it didn't work.
Folks, it
is a cesspool of advice Friday edition right here on the Devil's Advocates. That's Dom. I'm Big Booty Crudy. Come on back. Join us on the phones. Air your grievances here. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Hey, we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines airing of the grievances, 844-967-2789.
And welcome all you Brewers fans. Brewers win! Brewers win 3-1. They beat the Cubbies, so suck it, Cubbies fans. Shout nice. Out to all the Northsiders listening on WCPT 820 AM. I hope you're enjoying the fine management of Craig Council so far. Come back when? Brewers were down 1-0. Came back 1-3-1. Here is something else that makes me smile, Dom. In fact, that's right in the headline. It made me smile that Melania Trump's chief of staff, blew up Trump's claim about hiding the affair. She knew the whole time. One of the claims dropped in Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial is that he was desperate to hide the news about his affair and the payoff from his wife, right? Access Hollywood tape, all that kind of stuff. But that idea is now being undermined. While on the stand, his former aide, Hope Hicks, explained that Trump asked staffers not to bring newspapers to them in the morning so he wouldn't see the reports. Political reporter Erica Orden said that the comments from Hicks helped Trump because it focused on his fears about his wife. And Trump's defense has been that the hush money was only about hiding the affair from his wife and didn't have anything to do with the election. Well, technically, he claims there was no affair. So why is he paying her off? Anyways, Dom, the problem is that the former First Lady's chief of staff disputed Mrs. Trump ever read newspapers.
I read nothing.
Very Sarah Palin-esque. So Trump using that as a method of keeping the information from her was a waste of time. Hicks told the court she didn't recall if Trump asked her about how the Karen McDougal story would affect the campaign. She explained that he constantly asked her how things were playing. Orton also reported, I had moved from the West Wing to the East Wing when the Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal news, when it hit, when we were in the White House, said Grisham, I did have a lot of personal conversations with Melania to see that he didn't want to have the newspapers delivered to the residents. It made me smile, she continued. It sounds like something he would think of. Mrs. Trump doesn't read newspapers, she exclaimed. Melania watches the news like crazy. She keeps track of everything. She's on her phone all the time. She never read hard newspapers like he did. That made me kind of smile. That was one of the ways he hides it from her. It was never going to happen. I also saw text messages between the chief of staff and Melania where, you know, they basically got over it over like cocktails and a luncheon. They went to a nice restaurant, but Melania knew. Melania knew about the affairs and the allegations thereof. She asked her chief of staff about them.
Of course she knew. She knew who she married. A little bit from the Washington Post on Hope Hicks's testimony today. And callers, be patient. We'll get to you. 844-967-2789.
Get a little tearful.
Under questioning from prosecutor Matthew Colangelo, Hicks recounted speaking to Trump after an article appeared in 2018 about a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. That $130,000 payment was first made by then-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, whom Trump later reimbursed. Those reimbursements and their categorization as legal costs rather than campaign expenses are the basis of the 34-count indictment filed against Trump by the Manhattan DA. After that hush money payment was detailed by the Wall Street Journal, Hicks said, Trump told her, quote, Michael had paid this woman to protect him from a false allegation and that Michael felt like it was his job to protect him. And that's what he was doing. And he did it out of the kindness of his heart, unquote. Soon after the story came out, Cohen publicly claimed to have made the payments with his own money. Cohen completed a 3-year prison sentence after pleading guilty to fraud and lying and has become an outspoken Trump critic. He is expected to be a key witness in the case. Hicks on Friday became the last of several trial witnesses who have said biting things about Cohen. Asked if it sounded like Mr. Cohen to make a $130,000 payment out of the kindness of his heart, Hicks replied, I'd say that would be out of character for Michael. I don't know Michael to be an especially charitable person or selfless person. She said he was the kind of person who seeks credit. At another point, Hicks Riley mentioned that Cohen liked to refer to himself as a fixer, yet in her experience, he was fixing only because he broke it first. For prosecutors, the main purpose of Hicks's testimony seemed to be showing that Trump and his campaign were very concerned about allegations made against him by women. When it came to the Stormy Daniels story, which surfaced publicly while he was in the White House, Hicks said Trump told her that, quote, it was better to be dealing with it now, and it would have been bad to have that story come out before the election. As soon as Hicks said that, prosecutors ended their questioning.
Dominic, there was also a question of why Hopi is what Trump sometimes said about her. Very affectionate towards this daughter surrogate sort. So during cross-examination, and I'm using the analysis of Lisa Rubin, who said there are a couple of theories floating around amongst journalists watching why she started crying. The first one is that being asked about the Trump family, who plucked her from a private PR firm and turned her into a star, overwhelmed her. Her affection for Trump, the man, is still evident, Rubin said. So that's the theory number one, Dom. But the other possibility, Rubin said, is darker. The other is darker. Hicks isn't out to hurt Trump, but today she revealed that Trump shared with her that he spoke with Cohen in February of 2018, the morning after Cohen told the New York Times that he had paid Stormy Daniels without Trump's knowledge. Trump told Hicks that Cohen had made the payment to protect Trump from false allegations, never told anyone about it, and did it out of the goodness of his own heart.
Yeah.
Then, according to Rubin, when asked whether that was consistent with the Cohen she knew, she said, "It was not. I did not know Michael to be an especially charitable or selfless person. He's the kind of person who seeks credit." In other words, without having to call Trump a liar, Hicks admitted the story Trump told her was a dubious one. Then things got worse, Dom. It got worse. This show is only getting better, but the plight of Donald Trump and the testimony of Hicks only got worse. Folks, you're listening to A Cesspool of Vice Friday edition. I don't mean to say it with such glee, but, you know, Dom, I've known you for 30 years. We've been living in that cesspool of vice together. A good friend told me last night, I'll never retire because all I would do is sit home in a cesspool of vice. And it would kill me. And we wouldn't want that. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday happy hour. It'll get happier. It'll be a happier happy hour soon, Dom. And we air the grievances here on the Fridays, 844-967-2789. If the boss is watching, you can use the text line. But otherwise, we prefer when you call, unless you're CJ. I know you've been there for a while, CJ. Stu, buddy. Stu, 844-967-2789. But the former president, Don Snorleone, perked up today. Woke up from his slumber in court when he heard his own voice on tape, Dom.
Oh, nothing gets his attention like him.
Apparently, as part of the evidence offered today in court, they played Michael Cohen's recording of him, you know, discussing how they're going to finance the $150, the payment to Karen McDougal, the former playmate, who alleges, and do I still need to use alleged, who alleges that she had an affair with Donald Trump. He denies, strongly denies any of the activities. Hell, even Melania's chief of staff admits she knew the whole time. So anyways, everybody knows. Laura Ingraham even said it the other night on her show. You know, you're not supposed to do that when you're Fox News. You're supposed to keep the company line. But anyways, Hope Hicks cried on the stand. And I want to close this thought in Lisa Rubin's interpretation of why it would be that she was crying on the stand. Here is where things got worse, perhaps even worse, during the same conversation. And again, she had just, during cross-examination or during examination, she had just readily admitted, Hope Hicks said this, "I did not know Michael Cohen, to be an especially charitable or selfless person. He is the kind of person who seeks credit." You know, think of like a Dom sort, according to Rubin. In other words, more of a Crudy sort, perhaps. In other words, without having to call Trump a liar, Hicks admitted the story Trump told her was a dubious one.
And that story Trump told her was that, what, Michael Cohen went out of his own, in his own pocket to, you know, protect Donald Trump from the scurrilous false accusations. And so he paid out of his pocket out of the kindness of his heart.
Additionally, I'm hoping
he did not believe that.
Correct. According to reporter Rubin, regarding Hicks's statement, perhaps even worse, during that same conversation, Trump asked her how she thought the Time story was playing and wondered aloud whether it would have been better for the story to have come out during the campaign or when it had, concluding the real-life timing had been better. That's where the prosecutor's direct examination of Hicks ended, and within a minute or two, her emotions bubbled over. In conclusion, Rubin wrote, "None of us can say why Hope cried or what's going through her head, but as mysterious as she is, I can't imagine that as she crisscrossed America at Trump's side, she ever imagined testifying in a criminal case against a man who saw her as a surrogate daughter. That was echoed by Joyce Vance. Witnesses cry or get emotional on the stand for a lot of different reasons. But here, given Hope Hicks' relationship with Trump, it suggests that because she's under oath, she had to reveal facts she'd rather left unsaid. And she's concerned she damaged Trump. I think she did, Dom. One of the jury's job is to assess the credibility of witnesses. Details like this are not lost on them. Anything she said that cast Trump in a poor light is something she'd rather not have had to say, which makes her believable. And she's corroborated some important details. And one other detail I can corroborate, although I wasn't there, I'm just going by the reporting of others. Trump could not watch her testify. Trump watched the monitor of Hope Hicks in the courtroom testifying against him. Couldn't face her in that regard, if you know what I'm saying, Dom.
Well, she basically admitted she ordered the code red, man. I mean, that's why she's upset. That why they ended the conversation. Trump saying it was better for it to come out now after the election than before. I mean, that it goes to the intent, goes to the frame of mind. She had to acknowledge that because, of course, that's the case. And when you decide, yes, you ordered the code red, I saw it, I was there, I was, you know, and you're honest about it, and you don't want to be, you don't want to have these discussions, you are forced to be honest by the subpoena and under oath, maybe she feels like, you know, she's harming the old man, which maybe she is, but don't worry, Hopi, he deserves it.
844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex. Welcome back to the show, Gary. What do you got, you little conservative love muffin?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? Happy days.
I want to know why I jumped ahead of CJ.
Because, you know, he's CJ. At least you've got a tone of reason. Here's the difference, Gary. We talk. CJ just hammers talking points. And it doesn't matter. I mean, CJ, when I see the guy on the street occasionally, you know, he's okay in those contexts, but he gets himself all wired up on the air, Gary. And it's you know, it's just a matter of seconds before we got to cut his ass off. So let's see if we can have a conversation, Gary. How are you doing today?
I'm busy.
Never too busy for us, though.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Gary.
I'm driving on a stinking freeway going south. And it's like 15 miles an hour, and I got to get to a job. All right, back to business. You know, Donald Trump lies through his false teeth. We all know that. All politicians lie. He's lying.
No, that's not true.
Well, okay, most politicians lie. I don't trust them, okay? And Donald Trump is lying. Everybody knows it. But, you know, you got Biden. Look at some of the stuff that he comes up with. I've driven an 18-wheeler. He rode in it. He never drove an 18-wheeler. Then he says he was a professor at Penn State, and, you know, he taught for 4 years. That didn't happen either. And then he talked about Boozy, Uncle Boozy, getting eaten up by cannibals. And, you know, just over and over again. I never talked
Gary,
to my son about
it. Let me ask you this. You know, we've all met a few BSers in our lives, right? And we know they're BSers.
Yeah,
I've met a few BSers, and I would say the difference is that Joe pulls these memories out of air, and he tells us stories like Bob Uecker tells us stories during the Brewer game. And, you know, it's got a nugget of truth, but then he sort of embellishes it and makes it a bigger story. I think Joe's got a little tad of that. But Donald Trump is lying with malicious intent. He just lies and doesn't care what the truth is. And Gary, I think there's a clearly different level of what they're lying about.
Okay. And I understand that. He's embellishing that he's this really...
Joe Biden's lying about how big the fish is he caught last week.
Okay.
And Donald Trump's lying about whether or not he sold government secrets to the Russians, Gary. That's where I see the distinction.
All right, but I don't believe that he did. And all this Russian collusion stuff, it's all been defunct. It's all
That's not true, Gary.
That's not true at all, man. Well, listen, that's not true. Right. I'm not going to let you say that, Gary. It's not true. Let's talk about Trump's lies. He's on trial right now because of those lies. And those lies, what he did, he had caught and killed, these reports that would have been very damaging to his election had those come out, right? That's the point, Gary. And what is that? Really, well, it's not criminal. Just the fact that we were denied as voters the truth about our candidate. Oh, you can make your own guesses on that, Gary. He also apparently booked it and created additional crimes to cover it up, to cover up the payments, Gary. Now, you had said he lied. Okay. I believe he lies. You believe he lies. And in this particular case, those lies were transferred into action, which denied the voters, denying, and, of course, the fraud in New York State.
And his lifelong buddy, David Pecker, said this was to affect the election. I mean, Pecker's the one that's saying it's to affect the election. This is not about hiding it from Melania. Even her chief of staff said, oh, she knew.
Okay. But the thing is, look at Clinton. Okay.
Clinton? What the hell has that got to do with anything?
Let me finish.
Okay. All right, Gary. You better make it quick.
Bill Clinton was impeached for lying to Congress about his affair. Okay. Now,
correct.
To me, that's ridiculous. He shouldn't have been impeached for that.
Correct, Gary. I would rule this one.
For lying to a federal judge, Gary. If you're the chief executive and you get under oath and you lie to a federal judge, you think that's okay? Or do you think that actually destroys the entire system
for
what we're trying to do?
Right. And I'm saying what happened to Bill Clinton, we should have never done that to him.
You sound like Kavanaugh right now in his presidential. Gary, here's what I would say.
Wait.
I don't disagree with you for a change.
Word, all right, then.
All right.
Can I have the last word?
I won't hang up on you.
No, go ahead.
Here's my thought. I think you're trying to create a parallel between sexual acts outside of marriage, apparently with the porn star and a playmate, just like Bill Clinton chased every woman and even had apparently state troopers assisting him in his pursuit. And I read somewhere where JFK was chasing women, including Marilyn Monroe and a bunch of others. Once upon a time, a man, and considering most politicians were men, their personal lives or their lack of faithfulness to spouses was not put in the public record. And then with apparently Gary Hart, that kind of changed. The monkey business, right? And then it was the impeachment of Bill Clinton and certainly Weinstein. Don't even bring up that rapist, dude. But let's say I agree with you. I would set aside the trial of Donald Trump over this if we could actually get to the real crimes, like the documents that he took to Mar-a-Lago, which are clearly classified, and also, Gary, the insurrection, dude. I mean, Bill Clinton never ordered an insurrection. Bill Clinton actually won re-election.
That's what I'm saying. He got more popular because the Republicans tried to shame him. All right. Now, this is my opinion, and this is my last word, okay? You guys better just pray that they end up throwing this stuff out and they decide they're not going to do it. Because the more they do this, the more popular he's going to get. And with all this stuff that's going on in these colleges, it's hurting Joe Biden. It's hurting Joe Biden, all these criminal stuff that they're trying to get Trump on. And the Republicans aren't all into this. I'm just telling you, it better stop. And if they start...
Or what, Gary? We're going to get stuck with Trump again? I thought you wanted that.
Yes. I do. I'm just staying for you guys.
You're giving us friendly strategic advice, Gary?
Gary, hang on a second. I just want to be very clear, and we're gonna go to break here in a second. But do you believe that Donald Trump engaged in a coup against this country?
No.
How would you define his actions on January 6th?
Go to the Capitol. Let them know what you say, but do it peacefully. That's all I heard.
I'll be there with you, and you better fight like hell. And now, what about Gary? What about all the false electors that went out to all the different states to try to overturn those elections? Do you think Donald Trump, number one, do you believe that happened, the false elector scheme? And do you think that was illegal or wrong?
I believe that Donald Trump, in his mind, thought that he was cheated out of election, and he said, go and find me some votes. Find them. Okay? Now,
manufacture them.
Believe in your heart that you were cheated. Now, Do I believe that he got cheated? I don't know. I think shenanigans going on. But the fact is, I'm over it. Okay? He'll never get over it. Just like Hillary never get over it. She's still whining about it.
Gary, you know? Donald Trump said this week in Wisconsin, he actually won Wisconsin. You think that's a logical? You think that's acceptable? This is the guy you're going to vote for, Gary.
Yes, because he is the least of the two evils. Trust me, I wish we had two different candidates. Yeah. I really do.
Because Joe Biden tells some fish stories, Gary. Come on, man.
Gary said he would not necessarily, Donald Trump would not accept the results of this election unless it's totally fair. Gary, he's not going to accept it unless he wins. And if he wins, we're screwed. If he doesn't win, which hopefully he won't, he's going to do the same thing again.
You know, going to a Trump rally the other day, Gary, got me involved with a meme and a PolitiFact of sorts. Not a true PolitiFact, but sort of a Snopesy outfit.
A fact check?
I've been fact checked, Gary, and I'm on the wrong side of history, at least through my association with your buddy, MyPillow CEO and former crackhead, Mike Lindell. I'll tell you that story when we come back.
Start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocate's radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances. Let's get back to the lines. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. You are up. Welcome, Bill. What do you got for us?
I'm glad the topic was online. And a friend of yours, Charlie Behrens, said it best on lying. He said, we all lie, some more than others, but one more than all. And that's a perfect description of Donald Trump. I wish that guy has got some foresight when he's talking about politics. The point is, 91 felonies, 26 sexual assaults, 11 bankruptcies, 2 impeachments. That's the best they got. Really? Really? That's the best they got. Oh, yeah.
Better candidates, better ideas, Bill.
Amen to that, brother. Have a beer on me today.
All right, Bill. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. 844-967-2789. Let's keep going. Tom from Madison, you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Happy Friday, Tom.
Hey, you too, guys. Michael, looking forward to being at the Grassroots Festival with you tomorrow.
I am looking forward to it, Tom. You playing the guitar? You going to entertain the folks?
Well, I'm opening the festival at 7:30, and then I'm also opening for Garrison Keillor in the evening.
That is excellent. Garrison Keillor, he is the, you know, other than you and I, Tom, he's the guest of honor. Tom, do you have a schedule? Do you know what time Crudy's supposed to be there?
I want to say 3 or 4. It's at, just give it a Google. It's right there. I'm driving right now. Otherwise I'd look it up for you, but you're in the afternoon. It'll be fun. And,
I know I got to be there before 3, Tom. I'm doing some sort of midday, emceeing. So I'll have to Google.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
Worth a Google.
Yeah, maybe I can catch up with you on the drink I owe you, because I bet you stupidly that Donald Trump would be in prison before the Iowa primary, and you know I lost. So
I will take you up on that bet that I didn't remember us making, Tom, but I will certainly cash that check.
Hey, Tom, didn't beer we also chips. Bet? I think we thought we did. Maybe made that bet with me, Tom. It wasn't Crude. It was me.
Wait. You what? Said Donald Trump would not be the nominee, Dom. You also made a bet.
Hey, he's not the nominee yet, baby. He's the presumptive nominee. Hell, the reporting even says, he's not the nominee yet. Let's just get through the summer. We'll see what happens.
844-967-2789. Let's see if we can make it through the day.
Yeah.
Let's start with today. It is
small goals.
A cesspool of vice Friday edition, and you could be a part. Join us, 844-967-2789. Cam from Nita. Welcome back, young man.
Hey, Cam.
Hello,
Cam. Yes, Cam.
Hey, first grievance, landlords are wieners. Second, I don't know how people can drive with their, with like a blindfold on this political season and possibly think that everything about the courts and this American, justice system regarding any of the, things filed against Trump are like a hoax and not real. I don't know how you can possibly think that. That's so much paperwork, so much work just for something that's a lie. If you truly believe that it's a lie, how wouldn't anyone come out and part of that process and say, yeah, this is not being done truthfully or faithfully to the system. We can't be doing this. If it truly was a lie, you aren't working with logic. You're embarrassing yourself. And I'm hoping you genuinely don't vote. And if you do, on the off chance that you are, I'm going to drag five other people to go vote too and educate them, because I have to pick up the slack for people like you that are going to tear everything apart. And I don't want to lose this planet because of some orange mongrel.
Well said, Cam.
Is that it, man? Or you got more grievance in you?
It would be more stuttering and just like non-coherent anything. I'm just glad I can call you guys and vent, because therapy is expensive and you guys are cheap.
Yeah. We might be easy, but we ain't cheap. No, I'm sorry. Maybe we're a little bit of both.
We are cheap. Calling, yeah. We are cheap.
And easy.
844-967-2789. Let's sneak one more in this hour. Who's your Bob? You've been waiting a little bit longer. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob, what's happening?
Hey, boys, happy Friday.
Yeah, man.
My grievance. I have to take heavy exception with Gary.
Yes?
Don't walk into my house and threaten me. That's real simple. Oh, if you guys keep doing what you're doing, we're going to take over and you'll be sorry. What? Come on. I haven't listened to BS like that since I was 10. That's no. Come up with a valid discussion or go home, but don't walk into my house and threaten me.
Yeah, represent Hoosier Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Yes, if you guys keep going after quote unquote our guy, he's just going to get more popular with the mega base. That's not possible. Listen, it's not a threat, Gary. You want Donald Trump. We get that. You want Donald Trump despite the felonies, despite the rape, right? Despite the attitude, despite the insurrection, despite the documents, our secret national documents on the floor in the bathroom. You still want that guy. You're already threatening us.
They want him even more. That's what you don't understand. They love a bad boy. You're listening to the Assessable of Vice Friday Edition. A happier, happy hour, and more vice and sinfulness and Trump.